الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، واذكر اسم ربك وتبتل إليه تبتيلا، رب المشرق والمغرب لا إله إلا هو فاتخذه وكيلا، واصبر على ما يقولون وهجرهم هجرا جميلا. صدق الله المولان العظيم. We are discussing about our dhikr that we have to make, and one is punctuality is very important, then proper concentration, and our mind is quite ready and open and free, and then with full concentration we should make dhikr. It is like a job of its own, and we have to give it its due right, then we will get the benefit of it. We pay the price, then we will get the prize. And if we don't pay the price of it, then we won't be able to get the prize. And the prize of zikr is very, very great. And it's not only our islah, but our whole life will be made. Our akhirat will also be made. So we discussed that we should choose a time which is suitable for us, when our minds, we can pay attention, and without causing disturbance to anyone also. Is anyone sleeping, etc.? And we making loud zikr there, that is causing disturbance. Is if we doing it at home, for example. So we should choose to see that is also done correctly. And then with the ash'ar also, we should try and learn the ash'ar. Pay attention to the meaning of the ash'ar when we are doing it collectively. Hazrat Hakim Sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, our sheikh, should say that don't read the ash'ar with the person who is conducting the zikr. Listen at that time. Then with the zikr, we must also join in with the zikr. And the zikr shouldn't be too loud also, not like screaming, etc. And it shouldn't be so, not even a whisper, just a little bit more than a whisper. And like when you're speaking to somebody like secretly, like that it should be. You are speaking to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then all the muraqabas, the one that is the most important, is that when we should sway our body a little bit. It shouldn't be so little that it can't be noticed also. And it shouldn't be so much that we are falling down this side, we're falling down that side. It should be just a little bit. From the left side to the right, back to the left again, putting in. So we should be vacuuming and cleaning the heart from all the dirt and the filth, all the wrong things which are there. And if we apprehend any particular wrong, then make niyat of that particular wrong thing. And that we are taking it out and throwing it out, and the opposite, the right thing, we are putting it in the heart. We can well imagine if a person does that 100 times a day, it won't take long to get rid of that sin that we have, that wrong, that whatever bad habit that we have got. And if we don't apprehend anything particularly, then all the wrong, we are taking it out, throwing it out, and putting the right in. So the few, just briefly again, the few muraqabas that we had mentioned. Then also, for a while, think that Allah has blessed me with absolute dhikr, the greatest dhikr, the best dhikr, the best remedy, the best formula Allah Ta'ala has given me, and it's on my tongue. Also, that my dhikr, as it comes out of my lips, it goes directly. لَيْسَ لَهَا حِجَابْ دُونَ اللَّهِ. It goes directly to the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. From the arsh of Allah, where everything of ours is kept there. Now I'm busy taking from there, and then it's coming into my heart. That is like a big storeroom. And I'm taking from there and putting in my heart. And also with zikr, whatever is stored in the heart, we are opening it, and it's coming into our lives now. That La ilaha illallah, the oneness of Allah, its manifestation is coming now into my life. Also, that this is, think of it, that this is such a kalima that immediately makes a jahannami into a jannati. A mabghuz, a person who was hated by Allah, becomes a mahbub. A nari becomes a nuri. A person who was in the fire of Jahannam comes in the nur of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And doing it 100 times, then it comes in the Hadith Sharif. It's like the a person who reads 100 times La ilaha illallah, then like the 14th full moon. Like that, the effect of it will come into the heart. They're just like the 14th full moon starts first with a crescent, and then it goes, all the darkness goes out. Like that, the kalima, we keep on reading it, by the barakat of the kalima, all our bad things will go out of our lives. Whatever our wrong habits are, they all will go, and it will become like the full 14th moon. Also, we think there's another muraqabah. Of course, we won't just be able to remember. Those of us who are making notes will remember. Otherwise, in the Kitab Sanai Hamid, these are mentioned there, and also Nafir-e-Ghair of Khaja Aziz al-Hasan Sahib Majzub Rahmatullah Ali. The Ash'ar are mentioned, and the meanings are there. But in the Kitab Sanai Hamid, it is available, I think, in the bookshop. So we should see, but there, alhamdulillah, our brother Rashid Qazi has mentioned quite a few and explained them well also there. So one is also, we think, one muraqabah, that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked Allah Ta'ala for a special wazifa. And like many of us, we all, like usually even after a bayan, then many a person will come forward and say some nasihat. So what was the whole bayan? The whole bayan was nasihat. But we still, everyone wants something special. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam also asked for something special. So Allah Ta'ala said, O Musa, if the whole world and all its contents is placed on one side of the scale and this kalima on the other side, that kalima will outweigh it. So great is this kalima. So with that, hopefully it will dawn on us that this kalima is very, very valuable. Unfortunately, we are practicing, we are living on deen, so many things we have taken for granted, which are extremely valuable. The third kalima, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, that is separately, so great. But usually we won't take it as such a great wazifa. And la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That is such a great wazifa that we have been given. Very, very strong and powerful. And usually if we even tell somebody who gets wasawis, read la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, they don't take it seriously. Because we feel that this is now nothing, everyone knows this. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam also asked something for very special. Allah said the kalima la ilaha illallah is so special. As we read from the others also, and the virtues, ulama jazahumullah khair, have written whole kitabs just on the virtues of la ilaha illallah. In Fadail al-Zikr, Hazrat Shaykh has devoted a whole section to the virtues of la ilaha illallah. So they are very, very great. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked, Allah Ta'ala said, it is very valuable. You can place everything on one side of the scale in a pan and put la ilaha illallah, it will outweigh everything. Then it also is narrated in the hadith, a person who reads 70,000 times la ilaha illallah, غُفِرَ لِمَنْ قَالْ وَلِمَنْ قِيلْ. The person who reads it 70,000 times, he will be forgiven for all his sins. And for whom it was read, for that person will also be forgiven. It is said, Shaykh Muhyiddin ibn al-Arabi, rahmatullah alayh, on one occasion invited some people for meals. In that was a young boy also, and it was famous amongst everyone that he gets kashf. Kashf is something that Allah opens to a person which others don't know about. And that is only from the blessings of Allah. It's not all the time, it's not that you know ilmi ghaib. But how much Allah opens on you, so much you come to know, like now, what is happening somewhere else. What happened before, what is going to happen. Allah, when He wishes to, and these are karamat. And karamat means honor. Whom Allah wants to give this honor, Allah gives it to. So, it was famous, this boy gets kashf like this. So while they were eating, suddenly the boy screamed. cried very loud, proud, profusely. Sheikh asked, "What's wrong? What's happening? Why are you crying like this?" You see, he said, "I see my mother is burning in the fire of Jahannam." So the Sheikh, who had a few quotas of 70,000 of La ilaha illallah, which he had read, so immediately, without any expression on his face, any delay, just in his heart, he transferred one quota of 70,000 to the boy's mother. Immediately he saw the boy smiling, laughing, happy. He said, "Now what's wrong with you?" He says, "I see my mother is in Jannah." And so the Sheikh himself says, from this incident I gathered that the hadith is a sahih, correct hadith. That when you read 70,000 times La ilaha illallah and you pass it to anyone, that person gets the sawab. And from the kashf of this boy, I realized that the hadith is correct. It's a sahih hadith. And from the hadith, I realized this boy's kashf is correct. That he's not making just like many people just make stories that they got something, but genuinely he does get kashf. There are many more things also that we learn, that this transfer took place. Today we got EFT, how we just transfer. But more faster than that, where the boy's mother was, there she was in Jahannam, in Azab. And the sawab got transferred to her, she got transferred from there to Jannah. All in what a short space. So Allah's Qudrat is above everything. And if we read every day 100 times La ilaha illallah, then over 2 years we'll have a quota of 70,000. Till about 355 days Islamic, if we count the English days, 365. If we count the Islamic days, they are about 355 days. So every day one will be 35,000. 2 years, 70,000. Plus we are given 5 days grace also. 350, and that is 355. So each time, if you ate too much qurbani meat and you didn't make your zikr, so that 5 days grace also. So we can have every 2 years a quota. And if we read it twice a day, 100 times, then every year we can have quota. And then what we should do also, Allah give us tawfiq to do it, give me also tawfiq, all of us, then we note it down also. And then, like one quota, we pass to our mother, to our father, to our ustad, our sheikh, to anyone else. Then we got who we gave already. Just like this with our qurbani also we should do. Like qurbani time, many people, alhamdulillah, Allah has given them, and they make qurbani nafal for other people also. It's advisable to write it down, that for who we made qurbani. Like this year, for example, we made for Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Now, over a year, we think at that time I'll remember. But over the year, we forgot. Now we are in doubts next year. Now, next year, we can make for Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. We make for the Azwaji Mutahharat. We made for the Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. We make for somebody else. Amongst the Ashar-e Mubashara, all. Amongst the four Imams, all. Whoever. How much Allah gives us, and we make a note. Next year, we can say, I made for these people last year. This year, I'm making for this people. So like that with this quota also, that as we complete every year, to whom we give it, we also forget who we gave it to. So we make that, and if we still got spare quotas, keep them. Sometimes we come across some incident and we feel that this I must pass here, pass it there. So this is also a great virtue when making our zikr. Think also I'm completing my quotas of 70,000. And for us it remains also. And by the barakat of this, we will be delivered from the fire of Jahannam. We will be saved from it. And we will go to Jannah, inshallah. And also it is narrated where a person reads La ilaha illallah. Immediately a column of nur starts shaking violently in front of the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, calm down, cool down, what's wrong? It says, then finally it says, that the reciter of La ilaha illallah has not yet been forgiven. So Allah says, go, I have forgiven the reciter. So this also we should, when we are making our zikr, all these muraqabas will put our heart more into zikr. And the value of the zikr, we will come to understand much more. Then as we are making the dhikr also, that it is, that Allah is one, La ilaha illallah. And we start from here, which we did mention yesterday also, first with the af'al of Allah, the works which Allah does, that Allah alone does all that. Allah Ta'ala has appointed a lot of work to the malaika, to everyone. But Allah's works, which Allah does Himself, only He does those works. Nobody else does them. Then we go on to the highest stage after af'al, are the sifat of Allah. The attributes, the qualities. Allah is Rahman, He is Rahim, He is Ghafoor. For example, that Allah Ta'ala, other people are also Rahman. They also have mercy, but not that which Allah has got. And also, it's not of their own, it is what Allah has given them. Then there are certain qualities which are exclusive for Allah. Allah is Khaliq, Creator. Nobody else is a creator. Nobody can create. And it is for that reason that when a person takes photos, whichever way, whether it's in a drawing way with a pencil and he draws it, or whether it is today on the phone that he just presses a button or two and he takes a photo, so he has made that which Allah does. So Allah becomes angry. You wanted to copy me in that which is exclusive of mine. So I made this and I gave life to it. You give life now. And a person who can give life? Nobody. And this is, we shouldn't take it lying down. This is a serious guna also. Photography, photo taking, and is a very, very serious guna. And unfortunately, we have become so involved in it. We see right in the Haramain Sharifain, and right in front of the Kaaba, in front of Rawdah Mubarak, and we are taking selfies there. So this is a very, very serious matter. And ulama, there were those ulama and righteous and pious people who had that taqwa that they did not even go to for the faraz hajj, though all the other requirements were fulfilled, but that we'll have to have a photo taken. It was a permission, or muftiyan have given permission, take your photo for a visa, for a passport, etc. But they said that this is also haram, and doing a haram. Like mashallah, there are those ladies also who don't just want to go for umrah also, because of all the jostling in the tawaf, etc. When they are sitting in the haram also, ladies section, Madina Sharif, Makkah Sharif, cameras are focused on them. And somebody is watching you all the time. So for that reason, they feel very apprehensive of going. So there were those people also. But ulama have given permission that for passport, etc. But with all this, yeah, to this extent now. And it is also said that those ulama who gave permission, when they saw to what extent it is going and their permission for what and what it is being used now. To long, long years ago, before all this, now about this photos, there were certain ulama, mashayikh in our country also, who used to give permission for photography. And then all filthy films. Now on that basis, on the principle of photography being jai, then it went into those filthy films. So the other ulama explained to them, see, you gave that permission where it has laid. Therefore, it is very careful, especially for people in that authority, what you authorize now, you give permission, and what it is being used for then. It goes right on. So these great ulama also said clearly, we did not give permission for all these things. But where the permission is given, then where and where it leads to. But anyway, for ourselves, we must think. And this photography, taking photos, selfies, other people's photos, and on our phones we got the photo of our grandchild or somebody, Allahu Akbar, Allah make us all maaf. We were having meals one place and a mufti staff was sitting next to me when we were eating. And he had his key ring. And on the key ring, he had his wife's photo. Now, to advertise your wife like that, and of course for a photo, it's not like you, very important also when we take, Allah give us all tawfiq. If we take photos for our passport, etc., don't show a happy smiling face. It must be like a sulky face, I don't want to, but now I'm forced to. Like that expression must be on that photo. And if it is a photo where we are exposing our hair and we're taking a smart photo for the ladies, etc., then that is still not permissible. even though it's permissible to take a, but to take a photo and to show yourself and make yourself smart in that, that is not permissible. It should be taken, and with that dislike and that unhappiness in the heart that I'm forced to, I can't help it, that's why I'm having this photo taken. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala in His sifat, and then in the zaat of Allah, Allah is alone. In the zaat, there is no partnership with Allah in any way whatsoever. Then also when we make the dhikr, if we can bring ourselves to this stage, which is also a very good stage, that la ilaha, that I'm only for Allah. No, nobody else. I'm not for my wife, I'm not for my business, I'm not for my children. The wife is, I'm not for my husband, I'm his wife, I'm his wife, the wife is, I fulfill his rights, everything, I love him also, but I am only for Allah. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That was where Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam was. That everything only for Allah Ta'ala. And Qurbani will be coming soon, inshallah. Allah give us all tawfiq of Qurbani. And also very, very important, preparation for Qurbani. Not just the physical, buying the animal, and every year the same. This year's animals are very expensive. This year prices are very high. That is every year the story right from the beginning. When animals were 2 rand each also. Even at that time it was the story very expensive now. So we just all that discuss. No, let us try and get to the reality of Qurbani also. Qurbani is also a very great ibadah. And also it must be opened up more. We should read about it, the historical aspect, the spiritual aspect of Qurbani, and all the details of Qurbani. And it is such a great institution Allah has given us, and a great blessing that Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala has given us. So we should get properly ready after when we finish with Ramadan. Then if we are going for Hajj, Mubarak, that also we should get ready with. Otherwise the Qurbani start getting ready, reading up, listening to bayans, etc. And what Qurbani is. So that spirit has to come, that Qurbani, which is clear, لَنْ يَنَالُ اللَّهُ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَاكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Allah doesn't want the flesh of the animal, He doesn't want the blood of the animal, nothing of that. And those people who hate this understanding, in Mina, thousands, hundreds of thousands of animals that were slaughtered were just buried. And the world had objection to that. The non-Muslims is understandable. Muslims also had objection that this is wastage. But that the eating of the meat was not the object. But now they have changed it, and now they can the meat and they send it away, which is also very good. But the object is not the eating of the meat. The object is not all the other thing. It is to make that qurbani for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. That is the thing. And to feel that closeness and that qurbani also, that also, it's all in length, that we all get personally involved in qurbani also. And get the spirit of qurbani also. Not just that we send, we transfer money and our qurbani is done. Ask any mufti sahab, I transferred so much money, this organization, you feel they are alright? Yes. So your qurbani is done. No, and you did not a drop of blood on you, not a little smell of the animal. Maulana Salim Dharat, Allah give him high stages. On one occasion he made a special supper to Malawi, and he slaughtered, just because he wanted to slaughter himself. It was difficult in the UK, we don't know how it is now, but that we still have this opportunity, we must appreciate it also. Yeah, in our country, and also, as while we are talking on that subject, this year, where we have Qurbani year also in the madrasa, and the SPCA, they make sure they come and check whether it is done properly. And the guidelines that were written down, they took a photo of that also. And they said that these are such beautiful teachings which we don't also have. There are regulations that there must be no cruelty to the animals, etc. But what our Shariat and our tariqah is, that they don't match to that also. What a beautiful, and then all the slaughtering, there is a lot of detail also. We also, because again the same thing comes round and round all the time. We are living in a non-Muslim environment. We are so influenced by it, and we take so much effect of this non-Muslim environment that we also feel is cruelty to animals, slaughtering the animal, etc., etc. And to this extent, our minds are so stunned that it would be stunning. We feel that is more better, that is not so cruel as what the cutting is. Whereas they themselves in Germany, their universities, they have proven it, that, and with scientific proof, that the slaughtering is the most noble, is the most humane, is the most, the best way of slaughtering an animal, killing an animal. There can be nothing better than our Islamic tariqah. And from all these things which we pick up sometimes here, sometimes there, sometimes about this, sometimes about that, Allah put that by experience, Allah put that conviction in our heart that our Islamic tariqah, Sunnah tariqah, nothing can come anywhere matching it. No matter what it is in anything, nothing can come anywhere. Whether we understand, we don't understand. Whether the whole world's research is in one direction. But that Sunnah tariqah, yes, this we must find out, is it really the Sunnah? If it is the Sunnah, there is nothing that can match it. If it is the command of Allah, everything, the laws of inheritance, Allahu Akbar, just go a little bit. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained to us so beautifully, outwardly, لِذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. The basic principle which governs all the laws of inheritance, that man will get double of what woman get. Again, the same question, with the influence of non-Muslims, that there is no equality here. Gender equality. Woman must also get the same as what man get. So, and it's unfair. That why must a woman get half of what man get? Brothers will get double of what sisters will get. Daughters will get half of what sons will get. The general, there are a lot of, it's not an easy subject, and a lot of that, and a lot of detail which is in there. But one basic principle, and a lot of people have got objection. How beautiful our Shaykh explained it, that a daughter at no stage in her life is she responsible for earning her living. As long as she's a daughter, the father is responsible. The day she gets married, her husband is responsible. If the husband passes away, then either her parents, if they are their brothers, or her children, grown-up sons, etc. At no stage is she responsible to earn. If there is absolutely no one, the Muslim community is responsible to see to it. See. So she's not responsible. So this that she's getting half of what the males are getting, that is actually a gift for her. She does, and the husband, he has got his own expenses to see, to her expenses, the wife's also. So he's got double expenses. His wife has passed away, he goes and get married again. He can get married while the janazah is there. There is no iddat for a man. So he can get married while the janazah, he needs more money. The woman doesn't need the money. There is somebody responsible for her. The man needs money. So in every rule of Sharia, it is for us, Allahu Akbar. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, one beautiful poem also, that when the love of Allah opens on a person, then the secrets of Sharia start opening. And the secrets of Sharia, we don't understand them all. While we're on that subject, again, another little different thing. Hazrat has explained the same thing. Living in this world here with all the other influences on us, and we start suffering from an inferiority complex, and we think the other ways are more superior. And then we come to the extent also where if you have to cut the hands for somebody who stole, then this also looks na'uzubillah is barbaric. To take the life of a person who took somebody else's life, that person's life he took, that was not barbaric. But now to take his life and to put a stop in society, And how Islam has commanded also how that life must be taken for a person who committed this, a person who committed adultery, how he must be stoned. All this, it closed the doors for centuries. Then a person, all that that whole sin, their way is, it opens the doors for more and more crime, more and more. Therefore, in Islamic society where Islamic law exists, you won't find crime at all. You won't find anything wrong. It's a pure society. So Hazrat had explained that this hand which, when the secrets of Sharia open, when the doors of love open to a person. So this hand Allah gave you to ask and beg from Allah. It's your begging bowl. And you had to take from the great royal treasures of Allah, directly you had to take from there. When you didn't use it for that, and you went and steal something, so you did not appreciate, you not fit for it. So now it has to be taken away from you. You abused it. This great ni'mat where you could have taken billions of halal from Allah. You went and take a few coppers. Haram coppers you went and take, so you don't deserve it. So then we understand Sharia, and then a person gets conviction that the laws of Sharia and the Sunnah Tariqah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there is no other way that can ever match it. And if that then translates into our lives, we will feel it ourselves. And then we will get the great benefit of Sunnah. So that muraqabah also, that with our La ilaha illallah, that everything else is out. Only the commands of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then it is the kalima of muhabbat. Our Shaykh translates, the normal translation we all have of La ilaha illallah, that there is no deity, there is no power, there is no God besides Allah. Hadrat translates it in the translation of love. Who is there for me besides you? You my only one. Hadrat gives the example, Eid is coming. The wife comes to the husband and tells the husband, I want a pair of shoe, and who can give me the shoe? Now I can't go and ask your brother. I can't go and ask my brother, you my husband. I can only ask you. A person's heart melts. So Allah, whatever there is, we can only ask you. You are the one and only who can give it to us. So what La ilaha, who is there for me besides you? Oh Allah, there is no one else for me besides you. And how many akabir, buzurg, qissas, when they said to Allah, that Ya Allah, who can forgive our sins besides you? And in fact, in one hadith, Allah says, when my banda knows that there is nobody to forgive his sins besides me, and he just comes to me, he knows there is nobody who can solve his problem besides me, and we go to Allah with that conviction, that Allah, besides you, there is no one for us. And we do our dhikr like that, then inshallah, see the effects of it, and see what stages Allah Ta'ala will grant us. Really, it looks like that we are very, very slack in our zikr. From what we see when we do ijtima'i zikr. Yeah, also when we do, and like alhamdulillah, Allah's fadal, fadal, throughout the year with the students we have zikr also, but it looks more like a sleeping period. As soon as we start with the zikr, it is such a sleeping tablet that immediately a person goes to sleep. And as soon as you are finished with the zikr, everyone is up there. And everyone is fresh. So that kind of a zikr, it can't yield this benefit. Our Haji Sahib, Allah reward him, that why he makes his own zikr, he goes. So he said that, shouldn't I? Say, if your study is good. He said for 1 or 2 days, he said, everyone sleeps here. Yeah, no one is awake here. Everyone is sleeping, And when he makes his own zikr, then that feeling and the tears just start to, from the tear, eyes, the tears just start coming down. So Allah bless us with that type of a zikr. So zikr is a very, very great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And as we are making the zikr, one muraqabah also, that the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is written on the arsh of Allah. And whoever reads it, Allah Ta'ala will make Jahannam haram on that person. A person who will read La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So every 8-10 times, if you want to count exactly 10, no problem on our fingers. Otherwise, roughly 8-10 times, we should say Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. And the kalima is written on the gates of Jannat also, on the arsh of Allah also, and on the gates of Jannat also. And when on the gates of Jannat, that a person will read the kalima, he will definitely enter Jannat. There is no doubt. So by the kalima's barakat, a person will definitely be saved from Jahannam, and a person will definitely enter Jannat. He won't be also in the place in between Jannat and Jahannam. Some people will be kept back there also. No, the person who reads the kalima and think, Allah, you gave me this kalima to read, and by this I will definitely go to Jannat. I will definitely get completely saved from Jahannam. What a great ni'mat. If we just meditate a little bit, what the terrible tortures of Jahannam are, and Allah gave us this kalima to save us. And we also read in the hadith that a person who reads kalima with ikhlas, then the great virtues. So when we hear such riwayat, even if it is in ta'lim or a bayan, immediately read it in our heart. Read that, and then in your heart that, Ya Allah, it is only for you. Sincerely, I'm reading it for you. So we will get all those virtues. And by making amal as soon when we hear something, we will get the tawfiq of carrying on with that amal. When we hear fadilat, and we say, I will do it afterwards, in most cases, it's completely forgotten. We don't think of it also. And then the tawfiq to make amal on it usually goes away. Also, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, it comes that, shaddidu imanikum. That imanakum, that refresh, make new your iman always. Biqawli la ilaha illallah. That Allah is the only doer. If you can see the sum total of really all bayans, especially jamaati bayans, is that Allah is the only doer. In gusht is the same. When going for gusht bayan, the bayan that Allah alone is the doer. So this la ilaha illallah is that capsule where all that comes in. And the whole Quran Sharif also is to teach us the Tawheed and the oneness of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So with our zikr, if we do it properly, Allah give us all tawfiq to make our zikr. And this is why little bit we are trying to speak a bit more, that if it can come into our hearts that I have to make my zikr and I must make it properly, what great benefit and what reality of iman. And this iman, Allahu Akbar. It has made people, non-Muslims, go mad. What is this iman? That power of iman. It is a great thing. And it is contained in this kalima. And we can get it all with the zikr of, when we make our zikr regularly. Then there is the zikr of ism-e-dhat, Allah. Just to say Allah. And just think. Make muraqabah, our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair, what a arif of Allah. How is explained just the word Allah, as we see it written here on top. And Maulana Mansoorul Haq one time in Hazrat's Majlis told that the name of Allah according to Arabic writing, calligraphy can be written in different ways also. But it is not permissible according to Sharia to write it in any other way, but in this way, yeah. Only in this way. And if you see it there, that the two lambs there, they are written in that way, it is like the crown of a king. So that is the crown of Allah Ta'ala. If you look, first of all, the alif, if you see, that is like a flag, and on top is that little bit, that piece like a flag. And this pole that is so long, it is like every government, they raise their flag on certain special occasions. So this is the flag of Allah Ta'ala, Allah. And it is long like this, and it is to make an announcement that this is the domain and kingdom of Allah Ta'ala. Then those two lambs there, they are the crown of Allah Ta'ala, so to say. On top of that is the tashdeed. That is another crown. That Allah is Malikul Mulk. He's not only the king, he's the king of all the kings. He's the king of all times. He is the only king, and he is the greatest king, and he is the king forever. So is he so great? Then that khara zabar on top, that is an exclamation mark. Yes, 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 he is so great. Is he really so great? At the end, who? Yes, it's only he. There is nobody else but Allah only. Our Shaykh explains also in Banaras, in one city of India, more known as a Hindu city, one person he should meditate in muraqabah of his idol, of his god, so much that when they had to scan him, they take an x-ray, the picture of that idol was on his heart. So Hazrat says that if we think of Allah like this, and Allah's heart, Allah's name is written, أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. These are those people that the iman is written in their hearts. And if Allah's picture, Allah no, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, who can picture Allah Ta'ala? But the name of Allah, if that can come in our heart. So much we are engrossed. How much that Hindu, but what is God, how much he was engrossed that the picture of it came in his heart. Like this, if Allah's name comes into our heart, what to say? So, when we make this zikr of Ism-e-Zat, Allah, Allah, and we think of it like this, the love of Allah will definitely come. And then the obedience of Allah will come. To stay away from the disobedience of Allah will come. We also make this muraqabah, that when I say Allah, then this is that name of Allah, Allah, by which the whole world system is functioning. It comes clearly in the hadith, as long as there's one person who will say Allah, then the whole system of the world will keep on functioning. Ulama give a beautiful example here. If you have got a bus service running, say from here, Azadville to Johannesburg, the capacity of the bus is 60 passengers, and you're getting every day 60, you're the happiest man. You're making optimum, full, maximum profit. But all your seats are occupied, you're getting your full money back. And they drop to 50, 40, 35, 30, still, you already provided that even if they are less, I'm still making a profit. But when they come to 5 passengers now, then you'll say that this is not possible. This is now under the non-possible act. This now just doesn't pay me now. My expenses are more. I have to pay the driver. I have to pay all. It doesn't pay me anymore. But Allah Ta'ala says, as long as one person says Allah, Allah, not the service of a bus, Allah will keep the whole world services carrying on. How valuable it is. Not that Allah said if it drops to 10%, 5%, 1% in at the moment perhaps what, 6, 8 billion people. 1% in some remote jungle, he's saying Allah. Allah, by the barakat of that name of Allah, the whole world system. Children will be born, there will be hospitals. Also from here, our Shaykh explains that it is not the favor of technology of non-Muslims upon us. They made our lives very nice and easy. They gave us Mercedes-Benz, they gave us air conditions, they gave us this, they gave us that. No, it is the Muslims' ihsan on them. If there's no one left to say Allah, then they won't exist. There's just the front of them. The real value is with the Muslims and in the name of Allah. So everything will function until when there was nobody to say, Kaaba Sharif will be destroyed. Brick by brick, Kaaba Sharif will be brought down. There will be nothing left after that. This is the value of, and Allah, you're putting it on my tongue. And so to say, you're making me the means to keep the barakat of the world with the name of Allah. The barakat, subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim, by the barakat of this tasbih, Allah gives his whole creation their rosy. And if we will read it 100 times, how much won't Allah give to us? And by the barakat, not of my reading, but the barakat of Allah's name, the whole world is being given rosy. And Allah, we are reading, the whole system of the world, everything will keep on functioning as long as there's one person to say Allah. Also, Hazrat should say when we make the dhikr of Allah, we should make muraqabah, meditate, that as the tongue in my mouth is saying Allah, there's a tongue in my heart also that is saying Allah. And together in unison, they are saying. So in this way, we are letting the two meet. And the heart that is now consciousness. Not just that physically, bodily, I'm saying Allah and nothing inside me. In other words, the ruh and the body together are making the dhikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And as we are making the dhikr also, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِ. There isn't a thing, but it's making the dhikr of Allah. We don't understand. لَا تَفْقَهُونَ. You people don't understand. But Allah is saying, everything is engaged in the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. So when we are making dhikr, Hazrat says that now, make this muraqabah, that this carpets of the masjid, the musallas are also making dhikr with me. And whatever, there is a tasbih, there is a desk, there is a pen, whatever, everything is now making dhikr. And we all in unison, all we are making the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. See then how they value. One is a person makes his own dhikr. And we make it here, like after Isha, after Fajr, all together. And everyone feels nice with that dhikr also. Like that, if we can realize not only how many people are sitting here, but all, everything of Allah Ta'ala, all His creation, they are also making the dhikr of Allah, and we are all making the dhikr of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala together. So in this way, if we will make our muraqabas and we make our dhikr, then we will get the benefit. Otherwise, many a person also feels, I'm making dhikr. Many of us, we have to first, and one time in one ijtima, people complain there that we are doing tabligh work so long and we have got so much problems, etc. Our elders, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib, Palanpuri, Maulana Hazrat Jais, all, they listened to them. When the bayan started, then Maulana Palanpuri asked, how many people have given 4 months? So how many people? There were few people. How many give 40 days? There were few. How many make gush? There were few. How many do it punctually? Very few. So we're not doing the work and we're expecting the product to be delivered. We haven't ordered anything and we're expecting. So the same way many of us, we feel that I'm not progressing. First of all, check, am I making my zikr? If I'm making my zikr, am I doing it the right way? Am I putting the petrol in the petrol tank? Or am I putting that in the radiator? Because the radiator tank is small. So I just need about 5 liters of petrol. So I'll put it there. I won't put 80 liters here. I'll put water in the petrol tank. Then where is your car? Your best car you got, where is going to move? So are we doing our zikr properly? That we have to check. And there is no doubt, if we do any individual, it is for himself. If I do, I'm going to benefit. If you do, you're going to, and it will save us from all gunas. It will give us all high position. But, and it is easy. It doesn't cost us a cent. Just that little bit of time it takes from us. And in return, what won't zikr give to us? Unimaginable results will come into a person. Allah give us all tawfiq to understand the value and importance of the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. And whatever silsila there is, zikr is a very important part. So much so that Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, we all know the third part, ilm and zikr. And how beautiful ways it has been explained. They are the two wings of the work of tabligh. So if the wing is not there, if there is just a bird with one wing, or both wings are not there, how will it move? And that the zikr, and even in jamaat, just that zikr which is shown the three tasbihs, and a person does it, there is a world of difference between him and a person who might have spent the whole life, but he does not make his zikr. So the zikr of Allah Ta'ala is a very valuable thing. In the khanqah, if we make zikr, if we don't make zikr, then we can't expect the results. So Allah give me and give us all tawfiq that we do our dhikr, we do it properly, regularly, punctually, and with focusing properly. And this focusing will remove all other problems also. Whatever other problems we have got, it will remove that also. So Allah give us tawfiq to make a determination between us and Allah. that we are here. How many of us in Sunnah i'tikaf, we make our niyat at this time? Inshallah, Allah will bless us with these blessings, and Allah make it easy, and make us His true ashiks and His true lovers. And the sign of it is that we repeat His name. A person is going to get married to Fatima, then how much he repeats her name, and with so much love he takes her name. So Allah's name, you take it, and you take it with release, and you take it with enjoyment. How much won't Allah love us also? Also, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said that the way to create the love of Allah is to start meeting Allah. When you meet Allah every day at a specific time, for a few days you are not there, Allah, where is he? Why didn't he come? Anyone you meet every day, you phone every day at this time. If one day your phone didn't come, you know, how come, what happened? Next day again it didn't come, he'll phone you. So the same way our meeting with Allah, making a phone call, is zikr. And if we have that one time, we make our zikr. Fix your own time, but then don't keep on changing it. Then do it at all costs in that time. And we do it always, then see that if you also get caught up, Allah will make it open your way, and that you can make your zikr. Zikr, zakir ko mazkur tak ponchata hai. Zikr takes the person who makes him zikr, zakir, to the one whose zikr is made, it makes him reach there. And you reach Allah Ta'ala. And then Allah will remember you. And when you get tawfiq of zikr, also keep this in mind, that it is not actually me who has initiated this remembrance of Allah. Allah is remembering me, so He gave me tawfiq. So I'm sitting here because Allah has given me the tawfiq. Otherwise on my own, I wouldn't have started making the zikr of Allah. Allah give us all tawfiq to be regular, to be punctual with our zikr, and give us the full fruit of it also. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.